You'd think, like, since you're so busy, you'd be highly motivated to be interesting.
I
Like out of
don't
the gate, I mean. Like, no, like out of the
know.
gate. You would like, you'd be like, oh man, I got lots to do. I'll try to be interesting out of the gate.
No, I have no time for interesting.
Hello and welcome to episode 537 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tubing in Germany. With me, as always, is
Adam in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada.
What's going on in Vancouver, Adam?
It's starting to get nice. Starting to warm up. I think we have we have warmer weather in the forecast coming up this week. We're seeing possibly, I don't want to jinx it, into the low 20s. So that would be fantastic. But we've had clear skies for the last 2 days. A little bit chilly in the evening, but it looks like it's going to get nice here. So I am psyched.
Oh, very proud of you.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had snow yesterday again.
Nice.
So that's nice. Snows during the week and then clears up on the weekends, and that's my life now.
Okay.
I don't want that. I don't need it. Like, it looks nice. I still go around in a t-shirt and shorts because it's April and that's just the principle of the matter.
Okay.
I'm not, I don't care. Hey, listen up, Germans. I see you all wearing your toques and your, well, they don't call them toque, mutze, wearing your mutzes and your scarves and your jackets. I'm not going in for it. I'm protesting. I'm officially protesting this garbage weather we're having.
Okay, I think nobody's listening, but sure.
Hang on a sec. Angela Merkel's calling. I gotta take this. She's recognizing my formal protest.
Right.
Yeah. No, it'll be fine again. This always happens. This always normally what ends up happening like the third week in real life, not in this whatever this simulation that we're living in right now. But when Elon Musk is not running the simulation, we normally the outdoor pool opens up about the third and a half week of April. Right?
Okay.
So we'll get some nice weather. That'll end up happening. So I'll start going opening day. I love it. Can't wait for the Freibad to open. We'll see if it happens this year. I don't know. But what ends up happening is the first week is great, and then right around the beginning of May, we get the I forget what it's called, the Heilige, not frost. What's the German word? I can't remember. And that shows up, and then it goes to zero. So I'll be out there swimming out in the outdoor pool when it's zero for like 2 days. I don't swim for 2 days. I swim for like 45 minutes, but I'm saying 2 of those days will be zero and then right back up to the 20s that you're talking about.
Okay. All right.
Are you writing this down?
I've got a notebook.
Okay. Dear diary, Alan finally told me about the Heilige Frost. I
Yeah.
forget now. Great. Hopefully we our listeners will. I will Google it after and be remembered what that's actually called. But there you go.
Okay.
Got that out of the way. Finally, on episode 537, long wait is over. Amazon, if you need a spring toque or sunscreen, Adam's gonna need sunscreen. Do you wear sunscreen still? Stop wearing sunscreen. That's my advice to you.
Oh, okay, great.
Vitamin D, buddy. Don't block the vitamin D.
What about my bald head?
Yeah, you're gonna want to wear a hat.
Okay, all right.
I don't. I can't. I don't get on board with sunscreen. So if you want a hat, go to Amazon. Click to our site. Help us out. While we're still doing it, it's day to day here. Patreon, though, a couple more people signed up, and we appreciate that. Thank you very much. You find a link on our homepage if you want to help us out, help keep the lights on around here. And as I said, we very much appreciate the thought and also the money. In
Right.
that order, actually, in that order, I'll be perfectly honest with
Thought,
you,
then
it's in
money.
that
Yeah.
order.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they're
Yeah.
close. It's almost a tie.
Well, when it comes time to pay for the web hosting, then I appreciate the money a little bit more.
Okay.
Once the web hosting and then like the all the other accoutrement, I think they say in Quebec, that then I appreciate the money. But the rest of the year, the other 364, I appreciate the thought.
Okay.
I have sawdust in my hair right now, Adam.
That's not good.
That's how fresh I. No, I don't mind. I was working in the shop.
It's like conditioner.
How would it be if it was just I just randomly had sawdust in my hair for no reason?
Kind of what I was wondering. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I've been chewing through pencils. It's not the no. I was down in the shop putting the finishing touches on the patio bench, patio sofa. When we're done, it's going to be more of a sofa.
Is there going to be cushions?
No, spikes with sandpaper.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's
I don't know. When you say bench, I feel like benches by definition have no cushions.
Right.
I just made that definition up, by the way.
Yeah. Except when I play sports, I'm not really familiar with the bench, so.
Right. You're familiar with the cushion. The cushions.
I'm a starter. I'm a starter.
Oh, I see. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. I start and play all nine.
Right.
It is technically a bench. It's made from wood, obviously, hence the sawdust. But there will be cushions on it, so it can go either way. I think sofa is more like an upholstery kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're not going to lose dimes and nickels in this outdoor sofa.
Okay,
it'll fall to the ground. So technically, not a sofa.
Right.
That should Outdoor Chesterfield.
Okay. I can't wait to see it.
Yeah. I think you're lying. I don't think you care.
That's true. But, yeah.
But it's, I have it all built, but it's not quite as sturdy as I was hoping it would be. And so I'm adding a little bit more bulk to it to keep it nice and tight. So you can hit it with a car and the car would break.
Right.
That's always my goal. So, speaking of stuff that shouldn't break, we've got another lens down.
Okay.
Another lens of mine, potentially mostly broken.
Which one?
The 35mm cinema lens.
Oh, that's not that old.
No.
Like you got it during this podcast.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I got most of my stuff.
No, but I'm going to say in the last
like while we're recording 5 years. Yeah, five, a little bit older than that. I think I had it at the old apartment. No, I did. I definitely did. I had it at the old apartment. So it's probably the same. It's probably around 7 years, but still.
Okay.
I'd like it to not drop.
And you don't use it autofocus, right? So it's not the autofocus that breaks.
No, it's actually the barrel, the manual focus on the barrel is a little bit rough now. Like it's stuck. It's smooth, but it's tight. I made the mistake of leaving it in a secure place in my office. And I guess, my kids decided when I said, hey, just stay out of my office right now. I got stuff kicking around. They're like, yeah, we got this, Dad. And came in, found it on the floor. With the lens hood flowing across the room and the lens cap on the other side of the room. And I was like, what? Like a massive blow up. Big blow up by Dad today. I full on Dad.
Okay. What was their explanation?
They claim they didn't do it. They blame the cat.
Okay.
And which is highly possible, but I leave the door closed on purpose, and somebody else went and opened the door and just left it open, and then the cat got in, if that's how it happened.
Right.
Regardless. So I was like, okay, that's awesome. So that one, I mean, it may or may not work. We'll see. I don't care. I don't need any functioning gear. It's not important. You know, I'll just use my phone for most everything that comes
Sure,
up.
Yeah.
Yeah, that works good now. So... But on top of that, here's the ultimate indignity. I wasn't even using the lens. I brought it out just in case. I did a video podcast with Chris Marquardt yesterday, and I was debating, should I use my 50mm or this 35 cinema? Ended up using the 50mm and left the 35 alone, and it fell on its own. So good news, it wasn't attached to a camera. So that's the good news.
Okay.
The ultimate indignity is that, of course, it fell on my new oak floor and took a nice little chunk out of that. In the middle. If I wanted to replace that tile, that panel, that piece of wood, I would have to basically disassemble the entire office to get to it.
That's the worst. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
So put a plant over right in the middle.
Yeah. So I'm just saying, hey, kids, this episode brought to you by Trojan Condoms. What I should have been wearing had I wanted to keep all my equipment.
Yes, right.
That's offside. They're not listening, are they?
In 10 years, they will.
Kids, hey, kids, I actually love you, okay?
All right. Thank you.
I really do.
Yeah.
Not you.
Sorry.
So there's that. Anyways, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. Maybe pulling focus might be an issue, but there you go. All right. I'm just going to cry. Anything else going on with you?
No, we talked like 2 days ago.
I know, we have to do this weird... Do you want to tell people why we're talking 2 days later?
No.
Really? Is it a big secret?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll tell people when everything is all done.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's so when you're prime minister. When the election is over.
That's how I operate, yeah.
And you want... I know, you're a dark horse.
I'm a very private personnel. I don't know if you know this. I'm a very private
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I mean, you do photograph what's in your wallet and put it out there.
Yeah, that's true.
Privacy aside. So how are you doing this? Are you making a run at the Liberal nomination? Like, are you going to oust Trudeau, or are you just going to come in like as an independent? What's your plan?
I haven't really thought it through, but I'll let you know.
Okay, good. Cause everyone here wants to know Canadian politics and what's going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. He's going to call an election as soon as the vaccine is finished rolling out. P.S. You heard it here.
Okay.
Yeah, that's his move. All right. Reminder, monthly challenge for this month is vertical landscape. Seen a few submissions already, Adam.
Oh, I have not. So I'm going to have to look that on Instagram. What's that a Two Hosers monthly challenge hashtag?
That is, I haven't looked at the hashtags yet, but whoever tags us or mentions us in a comment, it comes up easier, like that it automatically shows up on our Instagram.
Okay.
Otherwise, I could follow, you can follow the hashtag, like you can enter, you can figure out what I mean, but just from what I said, right?
Yeah.
I don't have to go deeper than that. Okay. No. So you can follow that hashtag and then anything with that hashtag will show up for you automatically, I believe. I haven't done that yet. You'd think I'd follow the hashtags for our own show, but I like to look at them all at once, like 15 minutes before we record the episode.
Right. Each month. Yeah, really. So it's fresh.
Yeah. Yeah. So I haven't, so the ones that have included us in comments or tagged us, I've seen them briefly, but I'm saving it. I'm savoring it for podcast eve. That's what I'm going to do. Night before, I'll check them out.
Right.
So anyways, hashtag that Two Hosers Monthly Challenge, hashtag Hey Hosers. Even better, do both and tag us at Two Hosers or mention us in a comment, I guess, or however that goes on the Instagram. We'll check that out. Added bonus this month is you could win a t-shirt.
Yeah. And you could have your photo in my buddy's house in a giant... I don't know how many feet by how many feet, but really, really big, bigger than any photo I've had of my own. So I'm definitely invested in this.
Yes. Okay. What if I win the t-shirt?
Yeah, that would not be great.
No, I'm not doing that. I'm not. Have we cleared up how this is going to work? What if he picks nobody? Does nobody get a t-shirt?
Yeah, good question. I guess we could then decide on our own who's the best photo, who the winner is, and then that person could get a t-shirt.
I still have to design a new t-shirt.
I don't mind funding that prize if nobody gets chosen.
Sawdust in the hair. That might be a t-shirt.
Mm, yeah, delightful.
I'm trying to think of I'm working. I do have a few designs in mind and a few things that I've been working on since I mentioned it to you 10 days ago. And I want something that's a conversation starter. maybe just says that, hey, should we have a conversation? That would be a good t-shirt.
Right. Or just conversation starter.
Or just call it Converse, and then I could just start making shoes too.
Sure.
I'm in. I don't think
you could put the two logos, Converse and then Starter. Starter is also a logo.
Oh boy, we would get sued for that, I hope. Converse Starter?
Yeah.
I'm in with that.
Yeah. Starter has a good logo too. It's just a simple like star from what I remember with like.
Yeah, it's been a long time since I had any Starter stuff, ironically.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. So there's that. Anyways, I'm working on that. We're working on different kind of designs. I want it to really pop out. I want it to inspire conversation with other people. That's what I would like.
Okay.
Maybe I'll use the t-shirt from the made popular in the movie Teen Wolf with Michael J. Fox. One of my favorite t-shirts of all time.
Is it like ripping open? Like, is it like?
No. It's one his buddy's wearing. His buddy wears a series of t-shirts, and there's one that made me laugh. To this day, makes me laugh.
Okay, I don't know it, so.
Yeah, we'll talk off the air. It's not for everybody.
Okay.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Did you shoot anything interesting this week?
So much interesting, overflowing with interesting.
But this is like the topic is going to be your stuff at the baseball field. So
that's
anything
it.
Besides that.
No, I shot baseball. I shot Saturday baseball, which was just daytime. They had their little 6-on-6 game. I shot some of that, which was middle of the day, worst possible time, sunny day. Uh-huh. So those photos are nothing special at all because...
But they're snapshots that you like, though.
Sure, and it does help the coaches a little bit, some freeze frames. Mostly what I took was the hitter. So trying to get a look at maybe some of their mechanical flaws that the coaches can kind of help them work on. And it's sometimes easier for the kids to understand the feedback if they can see it in some still images. So I did, I did some of that. And that's it. Other than that, last night, so I had two nights ago, I guess it is now. What day is mm-hmm. today? I don't know. But two nights ago, we did our big photo shoot at the evening under the lights.
So when you played the 6-on-6, did you play pull the trigger?
No, we have done that, but this time they play a full official game. Like we have Saturdays are generally our game days, and so they play with a couple of parent outfielders or coaches in the outfield, and then it's just mm-hmm. umpire the whole deal. Umpire is one of the coaches, but yep, they call balls and strikes. Play the, you know, use all their pitchers, and it's just played like a real game. So they really like that.
Indeed. And they go full uniform?
Yep. Wear their uniforms and yep. It's as official as you can get in these times.
And last question, does your son, for a batting helmet, does he have the jaw protector?
He does not.
He does not, okay. I'm looking to pick one up for my son, but they're hard to get here. I'm having some ordering issues. So I'm just wondering, are they common there? Does anybody wear them?
There's a couple, not a lot, but I'm going to say a couple of kids that do wear them, but it would be the minority for sure. I thought, see, this is weird coming from you. I thought you were the one that's held this stance all along that no way I'm wearing a jaw protector or any of that stuff. So
well, I don't want him wearing the cage. Well, no, it's because my son is 7 playing with 13-year-olds, though.
Oh, I see. I got you.
That's why. Makes sense. When my son's that age, like he would be playing in Jack's League. Like my son at 7 would be in Jack's League, which is it's not obviously not quite the caliber as here as it is there. But could you imagine my son in your son's league?
They wouldn't let it happen, not in a million years.
Well, because there's options. I'm not doing this because I think, you know, my son is...
No, but even if it was in this league, like there's no parent that would put their kid in that situation.
Oh, okay. I'm a terrible parent.
No, I'm just saying that the pitching is so good that your son would basically walk off crying. Like it would be
he would not.
It would be well or you might as well put a you know a like a I don't know a scarecrow at the plate. Like there is no possibility he could touch the ball. Or if he did, he just have to leave it out there as a bunt and hope that it hit the bat. Like, there's, it just would make no sense. So I'm interested to see if he is playing against kids of that age, what it would look like, because it's ridiculous, the pitching that at this age. Because again, you'll see in some of the photos, like, some of the kids are, well, I only showed one of the kids because I had permission to show, but they're now 13, but like, again, with growth spurts and whatnot and puberty, they're like 15, 16-year-old bodies who are been playing since they're four and been playing a lot with, you know, mechanical coaching. And so they're throwing not only just crazy heat, but they're throwing off-speed pitches, and they just make you look silly. They make the good hitters look silly, let alone a seven-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it would be a very, very bad idea.
I think my son would be playing 12 and under, not 13 and under. I think it's the equivalent. So it'll be 1 year below your son.
Okay. They don't really have that. It's 2 year gap. There's 2 years now.
Regardless.
Yeah. So yeah, whatever he would not. He would be playing 9U. That's where you.
Well, yeah, he would be playing 9U. Obviously, if we had 9U here, he'd be playing 9U. I wouldn't put him in that. But there is no 9U.
Right. Right.
It's T-ball, and then, but there really isn't any thing to speak of here, and then the next jump up is 12U, and so it's no. Again, I would love my son to play 9U, 10U. I don't care. 10U would be fine. I don't care. But that big jump is huge. But like I said, it's that or just sit out for five more years and me and him play catch. What's not going to happen?
Right.
I will do all those things, and you know, go out and play and work out and play when he can. I mean, I'm not expecting him to be starting. I'm not suggesting he's going to even belong in that league. But, you know, any port in a storm.
Right.
So there is that. All right. I shot nothing interesting either since it was 2 days ago that you and I spoke.
Yeah.
Last. And so we had, because of your whole run for governor general or whatever it is that you're doing politically, is we had to record this early, and I haven't really done anything interesting since then.
Perfect.
Good.
Yeah.
That's what I felt like. As I mentioned, I was on Chris Marquardt's show yesterday, and I got partway through, and I was like, not only am I not interesting, I'm not interesting in video form now. So everyone gets to watch my face be not interesting. Congratulations, everybody.
Yeah,
that's an L. I'm just taking the L on that. I blame the pandemic. So
that's our theme. That. We like to blame the pandemic.
Yeah, I did see somebody sent that 40-year-olds and up starting next week can all make appointments for vaccination where you are.
Yeah, that's all happening. So that's good. Good news.
Yeah, not here though.
No,
not here. No. There's not. I might fly to Canada just to get one.
Is it still slim pickings? Like, or
I don't know. I don't know what's gonna happen. I stop. I don't really pay attention. Like my wife sort of pays attention to that. You know, when it's my day in the sun, I'll go. I would like to get it before the summer. That would be my plan, because if in fact they're going to basically, like, you and I have talked off the air about the concept of a vaccine passport. And when I talk about that, I don't mean like going country to country. I mean, in general life, like you want to go to a concert, you're going to have to, you know, have proof of this. It's already happening in many places. And while I disagree with it, I don't want to be left on the sideline because I'm putting my foot down. So yeah, I'm assuming that, you know, stuff like the Freibad's going to be much more open to people who are vaccinated than those who are not. So I'm eager to get mine.
Right.
Also to help out society.
Sure.
I would like it. I get a little bit, I don't know about you, if you kind of keep up on the science and read about some of the science, more of the science, and like everyone's fixated on the efficacy numbers. Oh, everyone's an efficacy expert now. Like I want that vaccine because the efficacy is pi, and that one is 22/7. So I don't want that one. That one's terrible. Meanwhile, what I try to point out to people is that as more people get the vaccine, all the efficacy rates go up. So, you know, like if you're walking, if it's Corona, what do you call it? Musical Corona, the music stops and there's no chairs. We win. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. That's all. I'm going to go play musical chairs now.
Okay.
I'm actually not, because what it's called in Germany is weird. Okay. Photo challenge this week was get outside. That was the plan, because you've been shooting everything. Like, the last 3 weeks have been shots of your keyboard.
Yes.
So get outside and let's see what's going on. That's what we're looking for.
Yeah.
So let's start with yours, since we're going to do a whole bunch more of yours after that.
Okay. Mine is outside. Part of the photo shoot I did the other day for the baseball team, I had lots of kids. So I just chose my son because I had his permission, or at least I gave his permission. So this is a picture of Jack on the mound. I kind of did every kid this kind of shot. Just as a son, this is the first set of photos I did, because we got there at, I want to say around 7:30 in the evening, this photo shoot started. And so
what time? Sunset.
Yeah. Right around then. So sun was just dipping down. Okay. when we set up, or when I set up, the sun was just dipping down. So it would be on his back side of this photo. So he's on the mound. So camera right, way camera right. And the sun is just dipping behind a building, probably just dipped down by the time I took this shot. And so you've got sort of that blue light kind of time of day. And then you can see the lights are on in the ballpark. They don't give off a lot of light. Everyone was kind of making that comment. Even when it got dark, the amount of money into the lights here, this is at Blundell, the Blundell Park, they don't put out a ton of light anyways.
So hold on, so Kat, behind you, like, from where you're standing, behind you is Blundell Road, right? By a ways away, but yeah, like, yeah, that's the direction.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just, because these were built a couple of years, like, I used to play at Blundell, but if you look out in, like, past third base, there's another diamond over there, right?
Yeah.
Okay, but we used to play there. Like, it was an old, not even a fence. It was like a softball sort of, you know, backstop thrown up there. And we used to play there. It was one of our parks. So I do know this, but I've never played under the lights here. But those are not a lot of lights.
No. There's not a lot of lights.
Is this a multi-purpose thing? Do they play soccer in the outfield in the winter?
No, not that I know of. This okay. is just baseball fields. And yeah, so it's interesting being there at night and seeing, like, I think very much impossible to play a night baseball game with the amount of light that these lights are putting out. So
it is for you and I. I mean, there's a certain age where I noticed, like, and this was like around when I hit about, I remember early 30s. It shifted. It was like, all of a sudden, it was like, oh no. Like, night games are never easy, but once I sort of hit my 30s, the eyesight went so that I could see the ball fine, but I couldn't see the spin anymore.
Yeah. Like, I honestly want to ask if anyone does play night games here. I kind of think they don't, because that's how bad the light is. But maybe they do. I can find out. I'll report back. But anyways, the photo, getting back to the photo, is just kind of like I tried to get each kid just legitimately, there's a catcher at home plate, or a parent that's catching, and just to get their sign and just do what they normally do. So I was trying to get sort of an authentic mound shot. I shot with the wide angle, just I wanted something different. I wanted to see the whole park and the lights, and so I did a wide angle and just kind of decided how much ambient I wanted, which was I wanted the sky to really pop as a background. And I chose kind of the most pleasing angle, shooting out to on the third base side with left field, got the lights, because there's no lights behind the fence if I go out to center field, so the lights are just along the baselines into left field, and then they have the same on right field. So I had to choose an angle where I wanted to see those lights and then just get that wide perspective. And
wait,
then
there's no lights in right center or left center?
No.
Okay. That's not a good, like, you can't have them in center field. That's terrible. Like, we've had those before, and like, it's really bad for the hitter. You just can't see the ball, obviously.
Yeah.
Being pitched, but left center. You kind of need him in left center and right center.
Which is why I don't see how they could ever actually play a night game, because there just isn't enough light. So there's basically just two speed lights, one camera left and one camera right and behind. And that's it. This, because I was doing this all together, these are high speed sync. I'm pretty sure these are bare at this point. I did mess around and try some umbrella stuff. I don't think this photo has any umbrellas in it. This is just two speed lights. So I dialed in my exposure, used the high speed sync just to fill in the subject and the mound a little bit. And that's it. This is, again, literally uploaded these photos last night, and there is really nothing other than out of camera with a little bit of saturating the sky. That's all that's done. So it's a pretty easy out of camera shot that I really think anybody could do, but looks cool. You don't see a lot of this.
No, you don't. No, it looks good. And I want to talk more about this in context of the rest of them.
Sure.
In terms of technique. So, all right. So here's mine. Mine's basically a snapshot because it was, we got a podcast tomorrow. But my son really enjoys the skate park now. He's got the stunt scooter, like all the kids do. The most dangerous part, the reason I really want him to wear a helmet, is because of all the 9,000 other kids that are just ripping around without looking.
Sure.
I'm more concerned about him getting hit by one of their helmets than I am him wiping out.
Okay.
But he just loves this. And so here he is going up the quarter pipe. And my daughter, for some reason, sitting at the top watching the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. I didn't even catch that was her until you said that. I just thought, oh, there's another kid up there. But now I see it's your daughter.
She came along, isn't into the tricks. And so she just ran up there and was watching the whole proceedings. There's a whole big skate park and stuff, you know, behind me with the camera. But I just wanted to get a shot of this. And I brought my the X100 because this was just, we were out having a family day. And realized once I got out there that I had about, if I'm rounding up, I'll say 1% on the battery. So it was like, oh, I better get this shot. And then it just dead. That was it. So didn't have much opportunity, but I did like this one because of the angle and the look on his face, the smile that says, I've crashed before. But that's just Tooth Fairy stuff right there.
Yeah. Good.
Okay.
No, like it. Yeah, it looks good. The colors, it's the fine. Clouds. It looks good. I like the angle as well. And I think this shot at night, you know, maybe lit, like, could be something really cool here, I think.
I've thought about that and waiting. And this summer, I might go out when the skateboard dorks are out. Because there's a bunch of guys, older guys, who kind of, it's fun to watch them complain because they're out skateboarding. And there's like I said, there's 900 kids zipping around on their stunt scooters. But you know, last week it was spring break. Now it's just homeschooling. But it was spring break last week, and so all the kids were out. And so then it was fun to watch these guys in their 30s kind of complaining about the kids.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, it's noon on Wednesday, dude. Shouldn't you have a job instead of being out in public in sweatpants?
Right.
Yeah, so that was nice. But I might approach some of them and say, hey, like, I know none of you landed a single trick today, but do you want to get a cool shot of you in the air next week?
Yeah.
So maybe in the summer we'll do something like that, like at night with a bunch of lights and some lighting the action.
I think it would be cool, yeah.
We'll see. We'll see if we can find some guys who can do some interesting stuff. That's the key. So other than that, the you know, my love affair with the X100 continues, especially when you shoot this, like I shot this in RAW and, you know, bring up the shadows, crush down the highlights and really get a nicely balanced image. This is not a good time of day at all. I think this is like, you know, 1 p.m. with some slight cloud cover.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not great, but, you know, it's not Kardashian photo bad like we saw last week, if you're paying attention to the news, but
no.
It's still bad timing. But anyways, all right. Topic this week is Under the Lights. You went out and shot, you told me you were going to be shooting Under the Lights.
Mm-hmm.
Now, was this a practice or was this a dedicated photo shoot?
This was a dedicated photo shoot.
Okay, how many kids did you get out?
12, all 12.
Oh, nice. So you got baseball card photos and everything?
Yeah, I guess if I get around, I'm feeling like I'm just going to give these photos as photos. Like, you know, I've got a couple of different setups that I did. Well, we can talk about what I did. So basically got there for evening light. I wanted just to get a range of lighting options. So got there just as sun's going down and shot sort of that blue hour for pitching. So I got all 12 kids through quickly with a two light setup like you saw in Jack's photo, high speed sync in tight, and then just exposed for the background, and then had them do a kind of a still shot where they just kind of looked in for the catcher sign, just doing whatever they would normally do when they kind of put their head in to get the sign. And then I did a couple of action shots where they're actually throwing, trying to get, you know, different points of their release, like, you know, as they do their full stretch or whatever, just whatever I thought looked cool, get the number on their back as they turn, all kind of shot from that same angle. I changed it slightly. Sometimes I got right kind of in front of them and shot out to center field without the lights, but more or less wide angle in tight. So all with the 17-40 lens and one lighting setup, which was kind of, you know, the diagonal lighting across, one in behind, one kind of forward left, because I don't want to get the lights in the shot and I still want to get wide. So that in order to, I basically had to reverse engineer and say, what's the background I want? Okay, now I'm going to position the lights around it accordingly. And it worked out great. I think I haven't gone through all the photos, but from what I quickly glanced at, I'm like, oh yeah, that was kind of what I wanted. So that was the first sequence. Do you want me to go through all the different ones?
No, or so when you shot, I mean, so you shot high speed sync because you still had enough light, enough ambient light that I couldn't
stop motion.
Right. So in order to stop motion, like, you want it to be dark, and so that you can basically light up the scene with a very, very short time on the strobe. Wow, that was hard for me to get out. On a full power on a strobe, it basically lasts too long. So if your bulk of your exposure is coming from a strobe, the timing of the strobe will dictate how much the action is stopped.
Right.
So full power is going to be very bright, but that's going to be on for a long time, which means you're going to get motion blur. So you want to be able to basically go at like 1/64th power, and that's, if that's enough to light up your subject, you can stop the action without going to the high speed sync.
Right.
However, at this situation, in order for you to get, you know, to 1/64th power to make any discernible difference, it's going to have to be much darker.
Correct.
Okay. So hence the high speed sync. But later in the evening, were you able to shoot without the high speed sync, or were you still doing that the whole time?
I can get to that. When I finished those photos, by the time I did all the kids pitching, it was getting dark. Cause I mean, probably that 25 minutes to get every kid through, the first setup, probably the light went from what you saw in Jack's photo and the other boy's photo to pretty dark. And so then we're going to go do our smoke machine photos. But then one of the coaches said, I had two photos in mind. I had the pitching photo in mind, and I had like a smoke machine with the lights in behind, kind of more portrait style, something that I thought more like poster kind of image, right? And so I had those two photos in mind, wasn't going to do batting. And then at the last second, as we were moving setups, the coach said, well, can we do a few hitting ones? And then I said, okay, all right. I didn't know if I was going to be able to get through and actually do the smoke machine. So I said, okay, fine. We'll do action shots. And so I just left the lights on high speed sync and then dialed in the exposure again, mostly because I just didn't want to fiddle around. I wanted it to be like, I needed it to be quickly because I still in my mind wanted to get to the third setup. And again, I did told parents all in 7:30, 9 o'clock, finish, and there's 12 kids times in my mind two setups, and now I'm three setups. So I didn't really do anything adjustment other than I kind of brought an extra set of batteries and thought, all right, I'm going to burn through these batteries on high speed sync, because that's the trade-off. There's plenty of light in a dark setting to use high speed sync. It takes a lot of the guessing out of the game, because you can dial in your shutter speed, because when they're hitting, It's easier in terms of stopping their motion, I find, pitching, especially when they're pitching. They're not throwing as hard as they can versus that hitting context. So I basically said, nope, not screwing around here. I'm just gonna dial in like my shutter speed to something I know I can stop motion, fill in with the high speed sync and be done with it. And so that's what I did. So it was all high speed sync. I know I could have probably gone absolute lowest power and then tried to get there and do, I was not in the mood to be fiddling though. So I went with easy, and high speed sync works for me. So I know exactly where I need to be. So that's what I did. So you can see, I put a couple of the photos in. I sort of had each kid, I tried to get each kid getting one, you know, where the ball's just coming off the bat. So you can see I got one of Jack and one of his friend there. And then I got a follow through. I didn't do it on every kid, but I started thinking, oh, be good to just get one where they're really exaggerating their finish and just kind of, it looks cool. So you can see there's an example of one of the follow through after the swing. You don't see the ball anymore because the only time you can get the ball, because the lighting is all, you know, targeted right at where they are, is when the ball is just coming off the bat. As soon as it goes 10 or 15 feet away, it just disappears into darkness.
Right. Did you take one? I was looking at a different one before. Did you delete one from here?
I deleted one because it was a different crop, and I just thought there's two at contact, so I just took one of the ones at contact.
Plus, it was your son way out ahead of the ball, so I was
thinking. Oh, no, it wasn't him. I took one of the other kid out, yeah. Oh,
okay. Yeah. There's one of the other kid who was way out in front, but then one I could see of your son who was really getting on one, so I knew it wasn't ripping on him. It happens.
Sure.
But I was like, I was just losing my mind. I was like, wait a second, am I missing one here from what we looked at earlier? You don't really have a choice with when the hitting, you have to do high speed sync no matter what. Like, you can make it super dark and then have the flashlight it, but then the kid's never going to hit the ball.
Right.
Like, he won't see the ball. So in order for to be able to kill the ambient and have the flash pulse be so quick that you can freeze the action, high speed sync is the, I can't imagine any other situation here. Unless you're to shoot with the X100 at the, you know, the super fast sync and all that stuff. But that's you're still getting 1/2000th, 1/4000th of a second. And you're killing all the ambient as well. But you're also going to kill the lights up top.
Right. That was kind of the whole point, is I was looking at the background and I wanted to have those lights like in it. That makes it look like a ball field, even when everything else is pretty much dark. I wanted to see that, you know, a little bit of the infield, because, you know, it is a decent looking infield. And then I wanted to see the lights. That was the background. So it ended up working in terms of the time to do three different setups. So I guess I should talk about the smoke. So then the third, so after I did the hitting photos, then I had the smoke machine on like I had a ridiculously long couple of extension cords that I borrowed from another parent, and they were able to kind of drape it all the way from sort of the nearby little house that's just beside Blundell where the caretaker lives, all the way out to the field, and because I wanted, again, to use the background with the field and the light, so kind of, you know, just on the infield, edge of the infield, like way out in just at the edge of the outfield in the infield. I kind of had them stand there, put two lights again in play. Everything's done with two speed lights. There's no softbox. The photo of the smoke. So I'll talk about the one of the other boy first. So I'm shooting 50 mil now. So all the hitting and all the pitching was done with 17 to 40. And then I switched over to the 50 mil 1.4 lens and shot from, again, a lower angle, kind of like I did in the magazine cover that I had a couple weeks back of Jack. I just really like that angle. It makes them look larger than life. And so one bare speed light to light the smoke kind of back and left, and then exposed for the background, because I really wanted the ball field lights to kind of be prominent in the photo. And then umbrella speed light with an umbrella to kind of camera left to feathered across to light them, and then just turn them all in this kind of orientation, so shoulders facing, so and then shoot from low to just make them look massive. So I really like
that. And now you're no longer shooting high speed sync here.
Not high speed sync. This is just regular sync, because now they're still, I don't need high speed sync anymore.
No, but now what you can do is you can get the shutter speed down. It's showing me 1/80th, so that's way slower shutter speed.
Right, isn't it 1/180th?
It says 1/80th.
Oh, okay. Then I was blind at the field because that was meant to be at 1/180th.
Oh, okay.
So that's
fine. No, it doesn't matter. It's 1/180th is actually better, because now what you're doing, I like these were taken last. This was your third setup,
correct? Last setup, yeah.
Yeah, so I do like these better, strictly for the fact that I see the grass in these photos.
Yeah.
And this is a better use of the better. There's no way to solve the situation of the hitting, like what you've done. You're out of luck. I mean, like to achieve what you did, to get the ball frozen on the bat, I can't imagine any other way, unless you're cheating and doing multiple exposures and photoshopping, which you're not, obviously not doing.
No.
I can't imagine how you would get the field in the photo as well. It's not possible. Because the exposures are just so different, like from bright to dark. But before we get into that, so how did you feel about your experience? Did you achieve what you set out to do?
Yeah, way more. I got more out of it than I would have thought I could do for 12 kids and 3 setups in an hour and a half. And I was finished at 9. If you asked me if I could have done that, I would have probably said not a chance, right? Like, cause there's so many variables here. Like it's a sort of a photography puzzle of different lighting situations. And I would have been happy to just get one of them done really well. I think parents would have been happy. I really was happy that I was able to get all 3. That right there is a testament to high speed sync. Like high speed sync is a huge time saver in terms of trying to problem solve all of this. Without high speed sync, I wouldn't have been able to do it. So I'm very happy. I have 2 flashes that have those capabilities. It allowed me to work much quicker. And then the kids were super compliant. So again, if I tried this with a younger group of kids, there's no way I would have been able to get 12. Like I was getting them through each setup in like a minute or two. Like, so they would throw a couple, maybe 2 minutes, let's say. So they would do it. They would comply. The biggest, hardest part wasn't the hitting or the pitching. It was the smoke machine, because there was a breeze. And so getting the smoke to actually get in the frame, and we were trying to play the wind a little bit because I didn't want it to be in the frame. Eventually what I got, and so the last few, and both Jack and his friend were kind of towards the end. The last 6 were definitely better with the smoke than the first 6, because I ended up just kind of getting a parent to stand, you know, just a little bit out of frame, and then just aim the smoke machine, literally hold it and just aim that smoke machine. And then most of the time the smoke was compliant, but then the wind had died down too. So that was the hardest part. Outside in an open area with a smoke machine, very challenging. And it also takes longer to recharge. So you blow that smoke, you get whatever 3 or 4 shots at it in terms of pictures, and then you got to wait a minute or two for it to reload. So I was hoping to get, you know, everybody threw on the first try, but sometimes the smoke just didn't go anywhere near them. So then, you know, try again. But that was the hardest part, was the actual just getting the smoke to comply. But that 2 light setup with the smoke machine, 1 to bare light to light the smoke, and 1 umbrella to light the subject. And considering I was able to use some ambient light, I think you can see it in one of the photos of Jack, the ambient light creates the rim. Like it's the perfect kind of mix where you don't need, you know, to have 4 lights, and it's not complicated. So all in an hour and a half, all 3 setups, I wouldn't promise that on a paying customer that I could do that, but it did end up working out that way.
I think what you would honestly be bet, like I'm looking at this, the shot called Jack Smoke, and that's like that one's really good. And then the other one of the other kid is very similar shot to that. Also very good. What I like about it is that you can see the whole field glowing, like the grass glowing. You have the lights that are out of focus in behind. I think you have something here. Like, but what would make your life easier if somebody else was paying, of course, would be to, you would go out and actually photograph that bare background just on its own one night with the glowing grass and all that. Put it out of focus in Photoshop, get it printed on a large, like a large canvas kind of thing. And just simply use that as a backdrop in behind in the studio, and then just light the kids in the studio, and the smoke you can control because it's not blowing away.
Right.
And you could basically, this is if you wanted to do this. I wouldn't want to do this. No, I don't think you would either. But if you wanted to shoot every kid in the organization for, you know, to get paid, you could have everybody kind of blast through here, like shoot it in the batting cage kind of thing with that as a backdrop, and nobody would know.
Right. Yeah. And you could absolutely do this. I also would have to say this is probably one of the most fun photo shoots that I've ever done, because it was fun. The kids were really good. It was fun. The coaches were out there, 'cause again, it was an hour and a half, and each kid probably was involved with the photo part for, you know, 8 minutes, right? And so the coaches were organizing, you know, fun little things that they were playing in the outfield and stuff. And so the kids had a blast. They thought it was great. It wasn't sort of a tedious thing. And so done like this for people I know and kids that were really cooperative, it was a super great experience. I don't know that I'd want to do this over and over again. It would probably kill the fun of this, and doing it in a studio would have not been fun at all. So, I have no intention of making this kind of a association wide kind of thing. I do think that when people see the photos and hear about it done outside and in this way, that there'll probably be other opportunities to do it. I don't know if I will do it or not though.
Right. But let's say you were going to shoot this again. Because I look, looking at this and saying, yeah, like there's some really cool things here, but there's a couple of things that with the, like when I try to shoot stuff like this, anything like this, I tried not to make it look lit, which I'm not sure I could do. Like you can't do it in specifically the hitting photos. Let's look at the hitting photos.
Yeah.
Because I think you're not very far away. Like, these are good. I think you're not far away from great here. Like, there's something that could really... Now, you're hampered by the keep off area closed signs. Like, that's out of your control.
Yeah, and it didn't bother me. I thought if I really wanted to on a couple, I could Photoshop them out. But yeah, no, it was... That's just what it was. Yeah.
No, but just in general, like, so in this situation, it's like, all right, what are you going for? Well, you want some cool looking photos, you know, at night, but this doesn't look like a baseball game, because like the kids in the field are pitch black. Like, you can see that they're there, but it's dark.
Mm-hmm.
So one thing I would probably consider doing with the hitting ones is don't change your setup. Maybe change it a little bit, but that's just your own personal taste. I would probably get down low, like right on the ground, and shoot straight. I'd get in too close to be safe, actually. I'd put a helmet on and kind of get pretty close to home plate and shoot up. So I would get more of the sky and kind of just take the dark field out of the equation. That's one way to make it look a little bit more genuine. But if you just want like that frozen moment, I might go the other way and try to kill off all that ambient. But then it's difficult to keep the actual lights in the shot.
Right. You can see they're barely registering as it is. Yeah.
That's the issue. That's what I like the best about the smoke is the balance. Like, that looks like they're on a field at night.
Yeah. And the smoke one really was the photo that in my mind I was going to do, like I wanted to do that. And then the other stuff was all bonus. Like I just kind of did it. I thought, this is not the best time. When we got there early evening, I thought, I'm going to do something on the mound. And then it just became, okay, what else can we do here? Oh, let's do a few hitting shots. And so, but in my mind, it was the smoke machine. That was the photo. And so I knew that I could do that, and anybody could do that. But yeah, the other stuff I'd probably, if I was going to do it again, and I can't see myself doing it again, it's just just not likely for me to do it, not this season anyways, I'd probably take more angles, and I'd probably do it with a very few kids and then experiment a little more. But this was just the scenario of, okay, 12 kids through all these things. You're going to have, there's going to be a coach. He's going to have to, you know, keep throwing balls at, like, there's just so many things. I wouldn't suggest doing this with a whole team of kids.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So I included a couple of photos that I took a while ago, just for contrast. Our field does not have lights, which is an issue. Like, I would love to be able to go out. There's a few of the fields that we play at that do have lights. I can't just show up there and start taking photos. Couple of the fields have lights that are probably not quite as good as the ones that you shot at. Like, they're really, really, it's really dark. And not only that, they're very, very low. So as soon as the ball goes above them, you lose it. So you got to kind of wait for the ball to come back down through the lights, which is no fun. But I've had occasion to shoot under the lights, night game shots, like setup shots, but we don't have lights at all. And so typically I wait until it's super dark, like pitch black, and then I shoot. And so what I tried to do here, so I included one from a shot from 2 years ago when I did the Bull Durham shot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so this was one where I wanted to get good light on the subject, the pitcher. And so there's four lights on him, but then I use the other two lights to create like that sort of pool of light in the background, because I wanted to kind of include some of the field. I wish I could light up the entire field, but I couldn't. So this by no means does this look, oh, like this is a real game. Like, it doesn't look like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's sort of an artistic version. And I also ran out of light stands. Otherwise, I would have popped two more lights just over those guys' heads in the background and included them in the shot as if they were actual stadium lights, which would kind of add to the effect.
Right.
So here's another one I got of, I did a couple years before, where, again, it doesn't look legit, like a real game. But this is one I did include the lights. What, of my buddy on the mound there with the hair?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
What are your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, it looks like a set shot, right? Like, it just looks like a setup. It's cool.
Yeah.
Like all of this stuff, it's like, okay, what are you going for? Are you going for realistic or are you going for cool? And this is in the cool realm, not in the realistic realm, but that's what it is. It's good shot. Yes. I like it.
My critique of it was, and I thought of it after, is I brought the wrong light stands. I wish I'd brought light stands that went higher.
Oh, okay.
Because if they were positioned, like, there's no way the lights are that low.
Gotcha.
So ideally they should be a little higher. Again, it wouldn't make it realistic. It would look like an artistic version of a realistic situation. It wouldn't look like, oh yeah, that's how it looks on the mound, because, you know, you have to populate the outfield with players, mm-hmm. an umpire, base mm-hmm. runner. Like, you need all those things, but if you can't, one way to go about it is to go super artistic and do that. So I included a couple other ones that were just, again, was like, that's more like he's getting hit by a car and the headlights are right behind him. And then the other one where he's just staring. I think he's doing the Magnum at that one. So I just want to include that. But again, that's a situation where I was like, you know what? I don't have the opportunity to shoot something realistic, so I'm going to go with it.
Sure.
Which reminded me of, like, I was thinking about, you know, like, if you have the budget, like, you can shoot it, like, you know, Wrigley Field or something. Well, look at the lights at Wrigley Field. It's crazy that I picked the last stadium to actually get lights. Like, they didn't have lights in until the late 80s. Imagine that. They played all day games until 88. That's weird, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But you look at the lights that they have and then compare it to the lights that you have, say, here at Blundell Park, and it's ridiculous. Like, they can obviously light it up. And so you can all of a sudden you can get amazing photos with the whole field lit, obviously, and you don't have to worry about it. So I was trying to think about a couple of scenarios in movies, like baseball movies, that they did a good job. One that did a good job in a tough situation, and one where they did a horrible job in a great situation. So Can you think of, in baseball movies, can you think of any that stand out in terms of great lighting?
No, but I haven't watched any baseball movies for a little while, so nothing's
the natural,
screaming.
The
I'm thinking of Major League. There's the night game in the end that they play in the last game of the season where they have to beat the Yankees. That's a night game, and there's some cool shots of Ricky Vaughn on the mound.
They shot that in Milwaukee at that not Cleveland. They shot that in Milwaukee. They would have had access to all the lights, but they would have supplemented that with some serious wattage. So they had a budget there. So they're able to basically light up as much of the field as they want and make it look good. Whereas you take a movie like Bull Durham, they did it. They probably had money. I mean, Kevin Costner was becoming a star at the time, so they probably had some money. But they shot that at real minor league fields, and minor league fields, especially then, the lighting is good, but not great. It's not major league standards. And so you watch that movie and it's like, all right, well, it can be a little bit dark out there. You know, it does a very good job of representing what it probably would look like at minor league parks. On the flip side of that is a movie set in San Francisco about baseball, a movie that you have forgotten about, and so you should have.
Okay.
Did you ever see The Fan?
I probably did. That's with Wesley Snipes, right?
Wesley Snipes and De Niro, and there's some weird kidnapping thing at the end of the game. Point being, the baseball scenes are among the worst I have ever seen.
Okay.
Like the lighting in the rainstorm they're playing in, and the lighting looks absolutely terrible. It looks nothing close to realistic. It's very artistic and not in a good way. So that there's an example of a very difficult situation. But all right, all in all, great photos. I'm sure the kids love them too, huh?
I have not yet edited them, so I hope they will like it. I know the parents will. Kids will probably like the smoke ones.
They'll dig that. All for the gram.
Yeah.
All right. Monthly challenge for this month is vertical landscape. Hashtag that two hosers monthly challenge. Hashtag hey hosers on the Instagram. Even better, tag us at two hosers and do those other hashtags as well. And we'll be sure to see that and judge that at the end of the month. Challenge for next week, Adam, inspired by the challenges you had on this shoot.
Okay.
Balance the light.
Balance the light. Okay.
That's the challenge this week. Website, Adam, people, you're still on the Instagram, Adam Two Hosers.
That's
on
right.
Instagram. My stuff, you can find at alanatridge.com or the two of us at twohosers.com, where you can go to find all the links, photos, everything we just talked about. And that's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.